recorded live.
Oh, forgive me, but...
Have you been to Bahia, Donald?
No.
No? Well, let's go. If you go to Bahia, my friend, you'll never return.
E muita sorte teve, e muita sorte tem, e muita sorte terá. Have you been to Bahia, Donald? Well, let's go.
They have vatapá.
What's that?
They have caruru.
That's like a song.
Have munguzá.
Munguzá?
Do you like the samba?
Oh, sure.
Nas sacadas dos sobrados da velha São Salvador, a lembrança das donzelas do tempo do imperador. Tudo, tudo na Bahia faz a gente querer ver. A Bahia tem jeito e nenhuma terra tem.
Turururururu. Have you been to Bahia, bro?
Yeah.
Well, let's go.
When you go to Bahia, my friend, you'll never return.
E muita sorte teve, e muita sorte tem, e muita sorte terá.
Have you been to Bahia?
Eu? Quem? Eu? Não sei não.
No.
No? Well, that's true.
Hurry, Donald, hurry!
No, I didn't have any prepared.
See, neither did I. And so, and that is the reason why. Hi, everyone. Welcome out to The Good, The Bad, and The Geeky. I'm your host of the most, Nick Nitro, and with me, as always, is...
Jimmy.
You're a little...
Well, you said always, and I have not been on the show the last couple of weeks.
Well, I'm sorry. You're not around. You have... A man has needs, Jimmy. A man has needs. And you weren't there to fulfill those needs.
I'm sorry that I was busy. I apologize to our entire listening audience.
You're damn right you should be sorry. My poor father, who has no idea what the hell he's doing. No, I'm kidding. He actually volunteered when I was like, well, I want to do a show this week again, like do another quickie, but I don't, you know, it's sort of boring doing it. Well, I'll do the show with you. I'm like, well, that's great. That's great. So, I still don't like the name he chose, DJ Og Dog. I just don't like Og Dog. But anyway.
Yeah, well.
We have a good show in store for you today. And it's a little, it's beyond unorganized, really. So we apologize ahead of time. It's not like usual. Usually, and I'll give Jimmy shit for it, too. Usually Jimmy's the one cracking the whip, but I'm the one who put the schedule in place anyway. So Jimmy's just being a good co-producer.
Yay
for compliments.
Yay.
You're not getting any more, so just don't let it go to your head.
Aww.
Oh, I'm a sad panda. Oh, I am sad now. Anyway, but yeah, pretty much me and Jimmy have had our last few really tough couple of weeks just because of time. Yeah, with my dad, actually, the reason why I was even want to have him just probably come in and do another show real quick before he went to surgery, because he had a kneecap surgery. So we've been running around taking care of him, and I also got the webcomic, and I also got Mr. Know-It-All thing going over at the Gigcast, www.thegigcast.com. Really cool. So I've been doing that, and I'm also, you know, just generally working. And Jimmy moved into his own place. Which is very nice.
And my new place, I think it's pretty nice. And I'm finishing up my grad school classes, and I'm working, and I'm writing,
When Jimmy says he's working, he doesn't mean he's working. He means
I am working.
I'm working. Like working for the man.
I am working for the man. I don't like the man. The man's bringing me down.
The man is bringing him down and making him work triples.
Not triples, but doubles.
Well, we have one more. We have a home run. Oh!
Oh!
Zing, yeah. But, no, so really, we've really had no time. Like, I think, what was it, Thursday was the first time I actually seen Jimmy.
In weeks,
yeah.
It was. And we had a good time. Sorry we didn't do a cast, but we just wanted to hang out.
Yeah.
Because
that was the plan, wasn't it? We would do a show Thursday. And then,
well, we were going to do it Wednesday night before we hung out, and then we were going to do it Thursday, and then we were just like, fuck it.
Yeah, because, well, I mean, and that was more my fault, because Jimmy was actually more, he was like, well, hey, we're going back, you know, to the house to actually do a live show. And I'm like, you know what, man? We've not hung out so long. Why don't we just be cool, relax, kick it for a bit, and we don't fucking worry about that shit, you know?
It was a good time.
It was good times.
Sorry, you all missed it.
Yeah, it's a shame that you couldn't be there because you're stalkers.
I think before the summer's over, we need to take like a Friday night or Saturday night
and do a drunk cast.
And do a drunk cast where we just sit around, shoot the shit, and record it while we drink, and then people can find out what it's like to hang out with us.
Oh God! The last hour of the conversation will be me and Jimmy bitching each other out for our differences in writing our stories. And when
fun.
I say that, it really means I'm bitching at Jimmy. Jimmy's just like, you do nothing wrong, and I feel bad for it.
I think I understood what you were saying, and I really thought that my book, you know, because I was explaining it in a way that.
No,
I don't think
right.
I was communicating properly.
Well, the problem is that when you don't have anything like written out fully and you're barely explaining something to somebody,
yeah,
you know, there's something going to get lost in the translation anyway.
Yep.
It's like when you tell a joke over that you don't really know that well, and you know the joke just gets horribly mutilated by you know what I mean, by yourself.
Yep.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's the same kind of thing, but of course the joke in this case it's not really funny. It's more like, hey, this is a story that I want to turn into a novel.
Have a lovely lady. Oh.
Who was married with 3 kids of her own.
Yes, so if my book series would take off like J.K. Rowling's, Nick could sell my secrets on the internet of what's coming up in the series and make lots of money.
I could, and then Jimmy would sue me.
Well, I wouldn't sue you, but I'd be mad. Because Nick is privy to the secrets.
I am.
That will make up the end of my series.
Well, actually, Nathan is too, which, you know, that's another person.
I've sort of seen
Nathan. We've not really seen Nathan that too much either. But yeah, I mean,
Nathan should be included in our drunk cast. That would be fun.
Oh, of course. Well, hell, at that point, we should get Wendy involved too.
I think that would be awesome. Let's do a foursome.
You know what, though? What we can do is, we should go to your place, Jimmy. I'll take my Mac, I'll take my board. And I'll take get a bunch of microphones together, and we'll have it all set up.
And I'll provide the liquor.
You'll provide the liquor, and we'll do a live show. Let's do it. Let's first like you know we'll worry about that later because again, don't you love it when we brainstorm live on the air?
I know. Instead of doing our show, we're talking about what we want to do with our show later, which is usually the meetings we have before the show, which we did kind of have a little. Tiny bit of a meeting before the show, and yet we still digress.
Well, that was the thing, though, too. We both openly, though, were like in the meeting before the show, we're just like, we don't really have anything. The things I want to talk about, they're like 2 months old, and you know, I don't want to talk about those. And then even I was just like, I don't really care what we talk about. As long as
I do apologize because I had lots of great stuff to say about Grey's Anatomy and the. Ocean 13 and a bunch of other stuff I wanted to talk about way back in the day, and now it's you know mid to late July, and I'm like it just doesn't seem relevant anymore.
Well, you know what? How about
I kind of missed the window.
How about this, Jimmy? So, if I start getting the inkling that we might not do a show this week, you know what? If you have any thoughts on anything going on, make it short but brief. Email it to me. That way, when I do my quick little rundown of the news, whenever I can include that in there, like Jimmy's thoughts on this or this, and that way, you know, we can still get a show done every week, and you don't have to, you know, make a mad dash.
I do have one thing about Grey's Anatomy, which is a current news story that I read in the last week,
Uh-oh.
So it's not old and outdated.
Okay,
it's actually about the spinoff Private Practice.
Yeah,
they recast one of the main characters. Which makes me mad.
Tay Diggs?
Yes. And it makes me mad because that character's already been seen on screen in that 2-hour episode. And the way the article read, it seemed like they were just bringing in a different actress to play the same part rather than dumping a character and creating a new character.
Wow.
Maren Dungey, who starred in Alias the first season, and what else? I think she was in King of Queens or something. She played Addison's best friend that she went to visit at the clinic, and she is not going to be with the show when it premieres in the fall. They are instead casting Audrey McDonald, Tony Award-winning Broadway star, to do that role, which means they will now have two major Broadway actresses, one on each of the spin-offs, because Grey's Anatomy has Sarah Romaranis, who, of course, was in the Tony Award-winning musical Spamalot. playing George's wife, Callie O'Malley. And now they got Audra McDonald on private practice. So I think they're trying to turn Grey's Anatomy into a musical. That would be awesome.
Find,
but I'm
find,
kidding about that.
Find your grail. Find your grail.
I don't really think they're turning into a musical, but I think it would be awesome if they did an episode where they were singing.
Really? You would really think that?
Well, you know me. I love musicals.
Yes. Oh, you know, I'll give you credit. Avenue Q does not sound horrible. But
Avenue Q is awesome. If you like the Scrubs musical, you should like Avenue Q because it's the same writers of the music,
no,
the same star.
Yeah, okay, now see, that's the thing. If you knew anything about what was really going on there, they hired them to just come in, help the songs, finish the songs that they couldn't write, and clean up the songs that they, like the only one they really like had full full musical control on was the finale and the opening.
But see, there was part of the same musical team working on it, and it is the actress from Avenue Q that played the patient. So there are some connections. I figured it, and it does seem kind of a similar style.
Well, no, there is a similar style. Well, what they did was one of the writers that has been around since the first episode, since the first season. She always they always talked about this too, about writing musicals. And she, like, the songs Guy Love and Everything Comes Down to... Actually, the name of the song was called Everything Comes Down to Shit. I think, but they...
But you can't put that on TV.
No, right. So, they you know, that was one of the songs that they sort of helped, you know, reword some things around to make it more...
Well, Poo is way funnier than shit.
No, it is. It's a funnier word. It's like underwear. Underwear is a lot... Or panties is a lot funnier word than saying boxers. I remember I learned that from Futurama, of all places, because... Fry was always in his underwear, and they were like, Fry, are you in your underwear again? And I'm just like, well, I guess in retrospect, it is a funnier word than saying, you know, are you in your boxers or briefs again? But
it is.
I digress. But no, I mean, it's good. I just am not, like, I don't think it's the best musical since the dawn of man. But that's me. And it's like Hairspray looks like it's going to be really good, but at the same time,
I do want to see that.
I'm not going to be jumping up and down to see Hairspray. Even though I was a parishioner, I said give the movie a chance, like John Lennon said about peace, give peace a chance. Well, give Hairspray a chance, but I just don't want to see it.
Give Hairspray a chance.
Did you know that the album Ram? This is a useless fact I'm throwing out there. You know the album Ram by Paul McCartney was just pretty much a whole album of Paul McCartney because he was still feeling blue about John Lennon breaking up the Beatles, or all of them breaking up the Beatles, was about John.
Don't blame it on Yoki.
If you were John and I were Yoko, I would gladly give up musical genius.
Just to have you as my very own personal Venus.
Don't blame it on you.
Little Bare Naked Ladies for you listeners out there.
That's right, we're huge. You know what they? You know what they're having? Bare Naked Ladies is having? They're having their annual Ships and Dip 3. Amazing.
Yay!
I want to go to that. I just don't have the money.
I would like to, but I can't do it this year as well.
Well, we have too much stuff going on anyway, though, Jimmy. I mean,
We do.
We have a Mid-Ohio.
We'll be doing conventions and stuff.
That's right. But here's
you can see us live and in person.
That's right. We might do a show at MegaCon 2008 this year. We actually might bring on the equipment and do a live show.
That'd be fun.
That would be fun. It'd be a lot of fun, actually. We can interview just, you know, random people walking by, ask them silly questions. We'll ask them.
Ooh, can I come up with a list of silly questions and ask them randomly?
Yes, sure. You know what? You can start taking.
Yes.
You can take words within the silly question and mix them together to form new questions.
Ooh, I could be like, "What is your favorite color for the bathroom wall?" Like that.
Is it because you're redecorating your apartment?
No, I'm not redecorating the apartment. I'm pretty much moved in and decorated, but
I'm trying
to think of something really random, like bathroom wall color. It might be important to some people. Not to me, but it might be important to some people.
If a doctor
And that would be a really random question to ask.
If a doctor came up to you and you were having bowel movement problems and he goes, "May the force be with you when you poop," would you laugh at him? That would be one.
No.
I would. I would laugh because...
For two reasons.
I know you don't like poop jokes, but number two...
I hate poop jokes.
And number two...
Except for the poo song in Scrubs, which the first listen to, I didn't really like it, but I admit, upon repeat listenings, that song does crack me up.
Well, I mean,
and
my thing is...
I don't really like Star Wars all that much, and the Force jokes are just stupid.
Well, the whole Beam Me Up Scotty joke, that's really lame.
You know, Beam Me Up Scotty was never said on Star Trek. So, booyah!
What's your point?
The Force Be With You is actually said on Star Wars,
so?
And people make jokes about, "Beam Me Up Scotty?" was never, ever, ever in the history of Star Trek in 10 movies and 600 plus episodes, nobody ever said the phrase, beam me up, Scotty. Never been done.
Okay, so what's the point?
The point is, it's not fair to take that line and pretend it's like all cheesy and stuff, because it was never a line from the show anyway.
It's cheesy makeup crap.
It may be cheesy, but it was never on the show. The May the Force Be With You is cheesy, and it was on the show.
It's okay.
That was my point.
How about we both agree to admit that both of them are fucking cheesy, okay? Like macaroni and cheese.
I don't think Star Trek's cheesy.
I do.
Well, okay. Some Star Trek is cheesy.
Oh, I'm gonna say, God Love the Original Series. That's the most fucking cheesiest show ever.
Viewed now in the 60s, it was brilliant and,
Yes. Ooh, black woman kissing a white guy. Ooh, we're over that now. Okay? We're in the now, okay? We're beyond the toupee. We're beyond the whole phrase, get a life, okay? Half the world is turning into
good
us.
Good book, by the way.
What's that?
Get a Life by William Shatner. Fantastic book.
Okay, well, anyway, the point is, everyone in the world is turning into us now. They're becoming more geeky. They're falling...
That's true.
You know, and...
We did it before it was cool.
Yeah, that's right. So fuck you, motherfuckers, who think you're all hot shit. That's all I'm going to say. I know. It's like I was building myself up so well, and then it's just like I blew my load. And
well, I guess we could start reviewing some shows. I know we don't really have structure, but there are a whole slew of summer shows. But before
can we clarify, that when we say we, in this case, it really means Jimmy.
It means me. Nick doesn't watch these shows. You know, Nick doesn't watch all that much.
The only thing
TV
I can review is Monk and Psych. But I've not... Well, okay. Collectively, I can review Psych. But I've not seen any... Well, I haven't taped. I've not watched them yet. But anyway, Jimmy, get on with your shows.
The Psych... Okay, well, since you brought it up, the Psych season premiere... there's actually two episodes by the time you'll hear this, but I have not watched the second one yet. But the first one was really fun. They did, like, a parody of
American Idol
and Tim Curry was the Simon judge, and the Paula character was actually, like, the criminal. And it was... Instead of the black guy, they had a Latino guy, and they even made a joke. This is a knockoff of that one show, except instead of a black guy, they've got a Latino guy. Ha ha ha. Maybe he was the bad guy. I don't remember. I had a couple drinks. But it was really funny, and it cracked me up because Sean and Gus had to go undercover, the two main characters who are the people that run the Psych organization. They had to go undercover on the show, and Tim Curry, who's the mean judge, had to keep sending them through up to the next round, because they had to keep them there undercover to protect him. And they were terrible, and they weren't even really trying. Like, they kept getting worse and worse. And they're like, come on, you have to try, because then, of course, the other two judges are like, they suck, and Tim Curry is the, picky judge, has to go, that was brilliant, you must go on to the next round. And then the other judges look at him like he's insane, and it was really funny. That was the best moment. And they had some fun costumes and stuff, too. But if you're not familiar with the show at all, Psych is, he pretends to be a psychic. He's just really smart and can pick out all the details and figure things out. And he pretends to be a psychic and solve cases for the police, even though he's not really a psychic. That's the joke. See, like, Psych!
Wow, that's... I love Psych. Psych is great.
It's a great show. They just premiered season 2. It's season 2 that they're on. I know Monk's up to, like, season, 6?
I think
5
so,
or 6?
Yeah. I have to ask you this, sir. And was Tim Curry the bad guy?
No.
Okay, good. That's all I care about then. Now I'm comfortable.
Love Tim Curry.
What?
When he made out with John Cleese on Will and Grace and they were brothers, that was awesome. That was really funny.
Well, did you know Pamela Anderson, not to completely go off another topic, there's an article in Entertainment Weekly that says the top 20 best and worst celebrity blogs. Did anyone know that Pamela Anderson had a blog, and did anyone care?
No. Yeah. Well, if it's one of the top 20, then somebody did.
Obviously, well, Zach Braff does have a good blog. Britney Spears got a D. She has a bad excuse for a blog. Rosie O'Donnell, is it an A? Are you kidding me? She got an A on her freaking blog.
Yeah, nobody cares.
Well, that pisses me off because she's horrible. Wait a minute, Alyssa? Mm. Alyssa Milano has a blog.
Oh, another show we can both talk about is Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip.
Oh, my God.
Nick's still fascinated by the blog.
I am. You don't understand. Like, who fucking blogs? Like, not many people blog. It's just like, except for Kevin Smith and Will Wheaton. Well, Lily Allen, but Lily Allen's a fucking nut job. I mean, she has good music, but she's a little nut. She looks ugly there.
I like Lily Allen. I've never read a blog, but I really like her music.
I do. John Mayer has his own blog. Well, I knew John Mayer did, but that's okay. No one cares about you, Jenna Fisher from The Office has a blog. And it's really good. Like, she talks about how her back broke and all that stuff. For, by the way, here's some news. She was nominated, by the way,
mm-hmm.
for... what's that thing? What's that award she gets nominated for? The Emmy.
Yeah,
she was nominated. Alec Baldwin has one. Oh my God! You people just do not understand how I'm almost done here. I swear to God.
On a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being I don't give a shit about celebrity blogs, and 10 being I love celebrity blogs and read them every day, I would rate myself a -5.
You give what?
On a scale of 1 to 10 celebrity blogs, 1 being I don't give a shit about celebrity blogs and would never read one, and 10 being I love them and read them every day, I'm a -5.
So you just hate them all together.
Being I really hate celebrity blogs and there's no way I'd ever read one.
Really? You wouldn't even read Will
Wheaton? I barely read my friends' blogs, let alone people I don't know. I'll enjoy their acting skills. I don't care what they're doing with their personal life.
Yeah, but see, I don't know. I'm not 100%. I 100% agree with that. Because
I don't even read Kevin Smith's blog, and I love Kevin Smith. Now, I do listen to his Smodcast, which is kind of like an audio blog, but...
See, that surprises me. You don't read his blog. I mean, that's sort of...
I don't. I rely on you to tell me if something important is in his blog.
Well, I'm wondering if Jeff Bridges has one. Holy shit. Yeah. Oh, I don't know who that guy is, because he's a fucking retard. I'm almost done here, I swear to God. Then we can talk about whatever. I'm just trying to look for something that's just interesting. Next gallery, what the fuck is that? Oh, we're done. Okay, we're done. I'm not looking at
okay.
it anymore.
Back to television. We both enjoyed the show Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip, which got canned in the spring, and then they had the rest of their episodes the summer. And I just finished watching them. I know you had already watched them. What did you think of the 4-part finale?
I thought it was amazing. I said
really 5-part finale.
If the show was running like that consistently all year, I don't think the show would have got canceled.
Now, see, I thought the show was good all year. I really did. Granted, that 4- or 5-part finale was the best episode of the series so far. And I did hear a rumor this week that they're going to try to revive it in some form. I don't know if it'll be exactly
true,
the way it is.
Well, okay, here's my problem. And, you know, I don't love West Wing. But Aaron Sorkin did West
I
Wing.
Love
and I like Sports Night. What I've seen of it is actually really good. I could never really get into it because I never really tried to really just sit down and watch it. But when I did watch clips of it on Comedy Central, it was funny. It was good. I was entertained. My thing is that
loved
Aaron
it.
Sorkin is a very outspoken individual, and that's all fine. I don't care about that. But my problem is that when you do a show like West Wing, it was far left. Let's be honest, but. It didn't always 100% feel far left.
I wouldn't say too far left. It was more like this is the ideal president. He always does what's right.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And most of the time, though, those things ended up on the left-hand side. That the right thing to do would be the left-hand side. Not, you know what I mean? But they would still go both ways.
Right.
The president...
And Studio 60, to some extent, did. That's why they threw in the one character, Sarah Paulson.
What,
you know, that's why they threw in
Harriet
to be conservative. And in the last couple episodes of the season,
they didn't lambast that character though. In the West Wing, they didn't lambast him.
I don't think they lambast her. I think Matt lambashes her, but Matt lambashes her not for her beliefs necessarily, but because he's bitter about their on-again-off-again relationship.
The problem is, though, that for a normal person that you know, wants to see if the show's good and turns it on
mm-hmm.
and doesn't... Because I don't care what anyone says. If Aaron Sorkin says that that show is not based after him, that Matt character is not based after him, he is pulling the greatest dupe on you that any person's ever fooled anybody. I'm even talking outdoing Andy fucking Kaufman. Because Matthew Perry takes drugs. He's a showrunner. He He hates other. He doesn't like other people's writing. Half, which ironically, for those who don't know, when he did West Wing and even when he does Studio 16 Sports Night, almost every episode is written or
by Aaron Sorkin.
Aaron Sorkin, because he does not like anyone else's writing. Which is sort of pointless to have a writing staff, in my opinion, but I digress.
But the episodes that Aaron Sorkin does do tend to be the best ones.
Yeah.
I have to say that he doesn't write many bad episodes. He's a really good writer. Yes, he's egotistical and should rely on his staff more, but he's a really good writer.
But that's what I'm saying, though, is that if you put too much personal opinion to the point that the show starts going over in another direction that sometimes the audience will not follow unless you are really that much of a fan of Aaron Sorkin or the cast.
But I don't think Harriet was lambasted. I really don't. And especially, I think Matt's the only one that gave her problems about her religion. I think the other characters treated her with respect. Wasn't necessarily about her beliefs so much as it was about her.
So demoralized religion. That
I disagree completely. And the finale itself,
the last four episodes were all written like that. It showed both sides. It wasn't just a constant, well, you know, you're an idiot because, you know, you don't, you know, you believe in something better than, you know, you believe in God or you believe in something higher. Because even Danny, the one who's not involved in it, would sit there and make a maybe to agree with Matt, saying, yeah, I don't really get it either.
West Wing had religion and stuff in it in a positive light. The major I think it was season two finale, when Mrs. Lanningham died, called Two Cathedrals, where he was in the church the whole episode, and it was basically the president talking to God and to her ghost. I disagree completely that Aaron Sorkin bashes religion. I agree that he puts in characters that bash religion, but he puts in other characters that stand up for it, and the characters who do bash it come off as assholes for bashing it.
See, in any other show's case, I would say, you know what, you're right. You are right, I agree with you. But in Studio 60's case, I cannot agree with that. Because it's very well known that he had a huge feud. And he could not stand Kristen Chenoweth when she was on the West Wing. He hated her.
I love Kristen Chenoweth.
He hated her. And the one thing they always got into fights about was that
was her religion.
Was religion. He doesn't believe God exists, and he thinks she's an idiot. And apparently the big thing about the first half of the season in Studio 60 is Harriet went on at some point or spoke out, I think, on the 700 Club. And that was a big fight they got to. That's based after Kristen Chenoweth, because he was furious that she was doing The West Wing, a show which didn't openly try to promote religion, and she does this, promotes religion, saying, well, I'm on The West Wing, if people watch that, they might, you know, whatever, and he just went off on her. And so that character is really making fun of Kristen Chenoweth, because he believes she was really talented, but he couldn't. That's what I'm saying. Like, in any other case, I would say you're right. Aaron Sorkin is writing the characters that way. But until those last four episodes, it just came down like a giant. And anything that was in Aaron Sorkin's line of fire, I'm not just talking about religion either. Anything that was in his line of fire, there was no other way or the highway. That was just fucking it. And I'm just like, well, you know, if it wasn't for the cast and actually that the episode wasn't really that good, besides that, I would be mad. I wouldn't watch the show. And I'm not really mad with that, but I'm just saying if that would be one of the things I would change to a degree, or not make it as forced. But, you know, we can't really, you know, say, well, that's what should have been done, because the show is pretty much possibly over. Possibly. There's a small chance.
Most probably over, but you never know.
I don't know.
No, I just really don't think that I've never came across that way to me. I never thought he was lambasting.
The thing is, Jimmy, you don't really believe in God.
I don't. I'm not very far left.
So he's preaching. He's not preaching.
I don't think I'm really far left.
Oh, bullcrap, sir. You're left. You're left. That's what I'm saying. If you're left, you're left. If you're middle of the road, you're middle of the road. Middle of the road means you just don't really care, for the most part.
No, I disagree. I think you can be middle of the road and care. And I think I'm more middle of the road. I think on some issues, I do lean to the left. On other issues, I do lean to the right a little bit. I think right now, some of the most important issues facing the country, I tend to lean towards the left. But there are important issues that I tend to lean towards the right as well. So it just depends on, you know, what you're caring about and obsessed about right now. And right now, the issues that I'm most passionate about do tend to be my left-leaning issues.
Well, that's cool. I'm just saying, though.
So that may be why I may come across, maybe.
Well, but I'm just saying, though, in that case, he is sort of preaching to the choir with you. It's like, because you're already there. You know what I'm saying? Like,
but I don't blame other people if they have religion. I don't think ill of them. I don't think less of them if they're Christian and want to believe what they want to believe.
Okay, but
you know,
when you're watching the show, though, is it true or not true that you go, you know what, that Matt has a point. What he's saying, you know, don't you think through that?
I don't know. I mean, see, every time Matt fought with Harry about the religious stuff, I saw it as not the real reason he was fighting with her. I saw it as a cover-up, as his excuse to fight with her, because he wanted to fight with her about other stuff. So I didn't see it as lambasting religion, and I really thought that he put Harriet in there, if anything, to defend religion, and she did.
Well, she does and refer to religion, but it's all too much that it's just, there's too much defending going on, not enough. I don't know, that's me.
But if it was all the characters attacking, plus it does take place in Hollywood, which is
very, very, very
notoriously a left-leaning area of the country.
And for the record, I don't want to come off...
And show business people do tend to be mostly left-leaning.
And I don't want to come off like I'm some right-wing fucking nut job, or I'm all, like, pro-God.
Yeah, Nick and I agree on a lot of issues, and we just don't, you know.
I mean, my theory is that I like religion to a point, and that is when the business side of religion takes over, I get disgusted, and that's why I'm not like a Bible thumper or anything like that. I mean, let me just very quickly say that. It's just that, at the same, I don't know, especially in Hollywood, they it's very easy, in our generation today, it's very easy. We always got to get to the next place before anybody else, and that's a lot of problem right there. We rely on technology too much, and I think that we just bash every little thing under the sun, you know, a little bit too much. Like, I don't know, and sometimes that bothers me. It's becoming too PC. So it all that argument sort of all ties into that for me, you know, and sometimes it just really aggravates me because I really do, like, love TV and other stuff and blah, 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 blah. Anyway, so Studio 60.
Okay, other shows.
Really good. Really good.
Because I think we've done a decent job of presenting our arguments on that show. Other shows.
By the way, horrible transition.
With the political.
Horrible transition, by the way. Can I just say that?
Keeping with our political speaking, let's see, look, I'm tying it back in and correcting my transition. There's a new show on Comedy Central that is an instant smash hit, and everybody I work with watches it, and we talk about it a lot, is Little Bush.
Can't stand it.
Little Bush, it's awesome. I love it.
And it's not because, you know what, I don't care if they make fun of Bush, because Bush is a fucking idiot.
They got through both sides. Okay, granted, the main characters are Republican, so it probably does got Republicans more. Excuse me. After Republicans more. But they've had Little Carrie and Little Hillary and Little Bill, and it does not portray them in a positive light either. So
I don't know. It's really weird. And it's not them. It's really more me. The order I get, like, I don't like shows like Family Guy anymore. Because when I watched Little Bush, it really came off like, let's just be the most offensive show we can possibly be. I don't know.
It is very offensive.
And you know, and if you and see, I come off like a hypocrite because, but I'm honest about it, because if Kevin Smith releases something, most foulest-mouthed human being individual in a movie ever, that doesn't bother me. I don't know, because I don't really think it's coming off as malicious, even though he very openly in Clerks 2 said, well, I'm going to try to make this the most profane of the movies I've ever done. I guess it doesn't come off like, you know, there's profane to be sort of funny, but then there's, like, let's be offensively funny to be offensive. And, like, Family Guy, for example, sort of went into that. And Little Bush comes off that way, too. And I guess I don't really 100%...
Well, Little Bush was the country's dying to make fun of the president.
No, I understand
let's
that.
Do
hey,
it.
I more than anybody, I understand that. This is coming from a man who voted for the fucker. I want him out of office, and I want people to make fun of him. But it just came off like a little bit. I don't care if they make fun of Bush. He's right. You're right. He's ripe to be made fun of. Horribly ripe to be made fun of. I'm not sure why they're not bending his ass over a chair and anally raping him with jokes, because the man deserves it. So don't take me the wrong way on that one, audience members. I'm just saying, you know, whoa.
If you are part of this 22% of the country or whatever small number it is, lower than Nixon's ever approval ratings were, that still support President Bush, I'm very sorry. We do not mean to offend you and chase you away from our show, but
you're an idiot.
You're probably the Bible band ultra conservatives who don't watch a lot of the TV and stuff we watch anyway, so you're probably not listening.
Yeah, they're the ones who think, you know what, I'm not going to get into this too much, but think that show, you know, some shows are, you know, that are not, you know.
Nick, we just offended half of our listening audience.
Yeah, I know. But you know what? I don't.
Of the three people that listen, one of them is offended.
I don't really think they fucking care at this point anymore. Fuck, fuckity, fuck, fuck, fuck.
Oh, you said fuck, fucky, fuck, fuck, fuck.
And you,
don't say fuck, fucky, fuck,
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 fuck
on the air.
Fucky, fuck, and you know, I just said it again. I don't know what to do. I feel horrible. So anyway, what was this? Oh,
the Comedy Central summer show that they just premiered. They've done two episodes so far. It's American Body Shop.
America's Body Shop. Is that like that one?
American
show
Body. No, it's like a car repair place.
Jimmy,
They go out and, like, destroy the cars, and then, like, they'll go to the scenes of accidents and, like, cover up a pothole so people wreck, and then hand them the business card. And they're just, in the first episode, they almost got shut down for losing their insurance policy and them having to pay off the insurance guy. It really, I mean, Reno 911 did it first and best, lampooning a job. Then, of course, Comedy Central's done several such series in the last couple years. Most of them last about six to ten episodes, and then they're gone forever. Like, there was someone about reporters, like some news team last year. I can't remember what it was, but I enjoyed it. It was okay. And I think American Body Shop's going to go the same way as most of those shows. It's okay. It'll air a few episodes, we'll laugh, and then it'll be gone forever. But it's, you know, it's worth watching, I guess, if you just want to laugh and don't expect anything too good or too smart. And speaking of funny shows, The Loop premiered in March and April of 2006, and they only did 6 episodes. I loved the show. And they almost immediately announced it and picked up for a second season. So I waited this entire 2006-2007 television season for it to premiere. It did not premiere again until June. So they saved it for summer. I'm wondering if it's going to be a summer show or over. They've already aired all 10 episodes of season 2, and they're not going to make any more of season 2. I don't know if they'll do a season 3, but considering they already retooled the show enough between seasons, they cut half the cast, and I don't know. It kind of changed the whole premise of the show when they cut the cast members they cut. It's really funny. It's just, I don't expect it to stay on much longer. About a young executive that works for an airline.
Man.
But I enjoyed them. I have the first season on DVD because it was released, and I have watched all but 2 of the season 2 episodes, and those 2 are on my TiVo. And then the last show that I want to review right now, there will be more summer show reviews, but I tend to watch them like almost all at once after I TiVo all rather than watch them week to week.
Right.
So I'm sorry. Hidden Palms. I already ran its entire run. Hopefully it'll put on DVD soon. It's by the creator of Dawson's Creek and Scream. And if you took Dawson's Creek and Scream and merged them, you would get Hidden Palms. It's got the teen angst, but it's all drama-ridden and opens with a suicide, and there's murder and all kinds of dark intrigue in this. Palm Springs is where it takes place. And I love the 10 episodes. They did advertise the last episode as the series finale, so I'm assuming that it won't be back, which is a disappointment because it was a good story, and they did tie up a lot of the loose ends, but it still felt like more of the beginning of a series, not a mini-series. So I will miss that, but I enjoyed it. And if it comes on DVD, I highly recommend you buy it because I thought it was really well done. Of course, I'm a fan of Dawson's Creek and Scream, so.
Well, there you go. There you go. Well, hey, you know what? You want to talk about some Harry Potter up next here in a little bit?
I was going to say, yeah. Movie review, Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix.
Hold on. Well, let's take a quick break first here. We'll play a song off the new album that I'm working on that we'll be sung at the Comic-Con from the album called Taking in the Heat. I don't know what track we'll play, but we'll play it. That or I might switch it with something else. Who knows at this point? But we'll just take a break, and we'll be right back right after this.
The new kid, he's got money, the money I deserve. He's got the goods, but he's not good for his word. I should be rolling in it, I've been a working stiff. As for the justice, no one knows where it went. But I'm gonna toil away until my judgment day. I will be rewarded for the good things I did. Believe me, every year there is another one here. Don't you see, I used to be the new kid. I am sorry to say, well, you get carried away. Oh, you will be replaced, you will be replaced. I'll tell you again, but don't get too settled in. Oh, you will be replaced, you will be replaced. The new kid, he's got my girl, the girl I used to have. He's got the looks, you know, but not from his dad. I should be kissing that girl, we should be so in love. There is no justice, there's just dark stars above. I'm gonna toil away until my judgment day. I will be rewarded for the good things I did. Believe me, every year there is another one here. Don't you see, I used to be the new kid. Believe me, every year there is another one here. Don't you see, I used to be the new kid. I am sorry to say, you get carried away. Oh, you will be replaced, you will be replaced. I'll tell you again, don't get too settled in. Oh, you will be replaced, you will be by the new kid. Oh, the new kid on the block. By the new kid. New kid on the block.
Welcome back to The Good, The Bad, and The Geeky. I hope you enjoyed Nick's track for you, whatever he played. Of course, I didn't hear anything.
I didn't either.
This is Jimmy. Welcome you back, and I'm here with my good buddy and host of the show.
Wow, you don't have to actually reintroduce the entire
you
show.
You missed!
You don't have to. Well, no, I'm sitting there like, what the fuck is he doing?
I know I didn't have to. I was doing it anyway because I wanted to give you a chance to miss your cue since I missed mine half the time.
You know what, though? And okay, that's wrong.
You did not fail to. You did not disappoint me. You missed
okay,
me as
you
well.
Know what, Jimmy? You know what? Next time, I'll let you start the show, and I will not miss my goddamn cue, okay? I will not miss my cue. You know what? Yeah, that's how we'll do it. And
so now that you're done with your aunt at me,
yes,
we are going to talk
about Harry Potter.
So, because the last couple weeks, it's the biggest news of the country in entertainment.
And for the record, if you have not read the book or have not seen the movie, please do not listen any further, because we are going to get into some spoilers.
I will spoil Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows up one side and down the other. If you have not read the final book, don't turn off the podcast or delete it. Just pause it, go read the final book, come back and listen to us.
And then you can email us and tell us
how wrong you thought I was and what you thought of the book, because I'd love these smart opinions. I'm sure it's going to be much talked about over the next month.
Can we review the book first, then go into the movie?
No. Movie first. The book's more important. The book's going to be longer review.
All right,
It'll be a big talk.
Fine. Okay, good. But before we go into the book, though, after we talk about the end of the movie, okay, yeah, we're going to actually talk about our theories, what we thought might happen in the book. How about that?
Mm-hmm.
And how were we wrong? Okay, so. So what did you think of the movie, sir? What did you think of the movie? Order of the Phoenix.
Sorry, I had a bite of something.
It's okay, I'm about ready to take a drink, so it's all good.
It's okay. I'm almost done eating. I've been eating this time. I thought the movie was awesome. You have to set aside what you know about the book, because it took the longest book of the series, 870 pages, and cut in the shortest movie, 2 hours and 15 minutes. So you lose every single plot there was. It's just the principal plot. However, putting the book aside, I thought it was the best movie they've made so far. I thought it was action-packed. I thought it was exciting. I thought the Hall of Mysteries was so well done. And then I haven't always agreed with their casting decisions. Dumbledore, the second one. But Dolores Umbridge was perfect. And Luna Lovegood, I never even liked the character in the book. I loved her in the movie. And as I read the 6th and 7th books, I appreciated the character so much more because of the young actress that portrayed her. I thought she was brilliant.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. I agree.
And Emma Thompson as Professor Trelawney did have probably one of the best scenes of the movie when she got fired. And she was out in the steps. That scene was awesome. I love Emma Thompson.
Emma, no. Oh, I mean, the whole, okay, my opinion on the movie was this. It's my second favorite movie out of all the ones I did. A lot of the reviews from movie critics, and I don't usually listen to movie critics, but Roger Ebert sort of said it best, and he included the pun in there, but there was a bit of the magic was missing. And now I'll back that up here in a second on why I agree with that. The magic is missing from this Harry Potter film, but the problem is that you sort of have to say that, because the first few movies, you didn't really know where Harry Potter was going. You just thought, well, we're eventually going to learn, you know, why that scar is there, where he comes from. That's probably it. We didn't, you know, of course, everyone who read the books that were out by that point knew something a little bit more. And I remember the news media didn't really talk about that back then. They didn't talk about how Voldemort, you know, it was going to be Harry versus Voldemort. They didn't talk about that.
Voldemort.
They didn't mention that whatsoever at all. So it really became, so in your service, they're going, well, holy shit. When you see movie 5, Order of the Phoenix, and then you see, and my favorite movie is Goblet of Fire. The reason why is because there's a bit of, and when I say the magic is lost, there's a wonderment that when Harry goes to school and he witnesses something that you're witnessing as well, there's a bit of wonderment that's going on. But by this time, the movie, and the other thing is that the other movies, they're not really about just Harry. They're about Harry, Ron, and Hermione, and that little group of kids. Harry, of course, is the leader, is the more focused one, but he's not really the main center point of the entire film, usually. There's a lot of other sub.
There are other plots besides Harry.
Right,
is your point.
Right. So, and this
and
film,
I agree, but to do the movie, they cut everybody else
no,
so they can get all of
that,
Harry's plot
no,
in there.
No, that's true. That's true. They get the most important stuff and they leave it in. But comparatively to the other films, that's why I'm saying some of the magic has been sort of lost in that regard. Now, do I think that takes away from the movie whatsoever? Not so whatever. I mean, the movie does sort of come off like, I'm Harry Potter and I've got teen angst because someone's trying to kill me. Ooh. You know, it does sort of come off like,
well, if anybody's got reason for teen angst, it's Harry Potter.
Oh, I mean, actually, him and Peter Parker, I both put up there as good reasons to have teen angst, if anything.
And I thought, compared to the way Harry was portrayed in the book, he was positively cheerful through the Order of the Phoenix movie. The book got really dark. It was not a happy book. It was extremely depressing. It didn't have the magic wonderment. Neither do the 6th and 7th books. Things get dark. These are not kids'
books.
No, right. And this is the mistake a lot of people make.
Right, and that's the thing.
And assuming, because the first two were a little bit childish and wonderment, that that's how the series is going to be, but it isn't. The series began with murder, and it ends with murder. There's happy stuff in it, but the series was not meant to be a happy-go-lucky series. The series has always been about death.
And avoiding death.
Voldemort.
I call him Voldemort. I don't care what anyone.
Voldemort.
I don't care.
Voldemort.
I'm calling him Voldemort.
No,
I know it's wrong. People, I apologize. Jimmy, don't go all Nathan Haley on me. I don't fucking care. It's Voldemort to me. Because it's easier to say. I'm not going to be able to get it out right any other time. He who shall not be named, okay, Voldemort, he is afraid of death. That's actually why. That's one of the reasons why he despises Muggles, is because dying is a human construct, and so that's part of the reason why he hides his soul in Horcruxes, correct?
Which is not that's the 6th and 7th one.
No,
though.
No,
yeah,
right,
still,
right. I'm just saying though, but that's something we learn about him, and so you know,
right? He split his soul and avoided. That's why he survived. He didn't die at the prologue of the first book, because he split his soul in Horcruxes, and he is obsessed with cheating death.
Right, and so,
the good guys realize that death is a natural progression and should be not feared,
but
embraced when necessary.
Right, right.
Right.
And but I'm,
the villain's the one who tries to cheat death.
You're right. You're totally correct. And I understand that, too. I'm not trying to take away from the film whatsoever when I say that some of the magic was lost. I'm just talking about some of the wonderment, because that's the thing. The story progresses to a point where it's not going to be about wonderment anymore. It's going to be about, yeah, holy shit, we're going to get our asses possibly killed. We're fighting. This is good versus evil. This is not a, oh, this is really neat, this is really cool. And I think I understand that. And the only thing is that doesn't bother me. I think Goblet of Fire was the first time the tone was really... Because that's the thing. I think Goblet of Fire, movie-wise, the end of the movie, for those who don't know, one of the kids gets killed. Not a main character, but in terms of the...
A major character for that book, not a main character of the series.
No, right. I mean, he's always been there, but he wasn't never really, you know, pushed out front or anything like that.
I think he was only mentioned in one book before the fourth one. He was really, like, not one of the principal characters at all, but in the fourth one, he kind of took a... front seat and was one of the principal players.
I thought he was in both the other movies, and movie-wise.
I don't think so. Movie-wise, I'll look it up. I'll look it up while you talk, but I don't think so, because he was not a big player. He was only in one. I think I remember him. I just reread all the books, and I think I remember him mentioned in one of their books, but he has not been one of the major, not one of the big cast of reoccurring kids.
Well,
you know, he was just kind
okay.
of...
Well, so, I mean,
in there
that character, though, he dies at the end of it. And Harry thinks he sort of thinks of it not only as his fault, but no one believes him that Voldemort is the one, he who should not be named, was the one who killed the kid. And, you know, it is sort of, and like literally.
It's not that no one believes him, just the government.
The government, but
that's
the,
tries to turn people
the
against
people
him.
Who should be important and should be listening, though, they're the ones not listening.
Right.
And that's what sort of. But I remember when you're watching Goblet of Fire, Jimmy tells me, because I have not read any of the books, Jimmy tells me what happens in every book. And he told me...
Okay, I'm on the Internet Movie Database. Cedric Diggory, the character killed in the fourth movie, was only listed in the fourth and fifth movie. He was in the fifth movie through a flashback, the new one that came out,
really?
Aaron the Phoenix. We saw him in a flashback.
He was in, like, the third one.
Those are the only two he's credited with. He was not in... You're probably thinking of Oliver Wood, the captain of the Quidditch team.
Yeah, okay. That's who I am thinking about. Okay.
He was in the first three movies.
Okay. See, I thought that...
Cedric Diggory wasn't part of Harry's Quidditch team. He was on an opposing Quidditch team, but they never showed him in the early movies.
I gotcha. Okay.
I know, yeah. It was an easy mistake to make with all... Because there are a large cast of minor students that pop
and
in and out
sort of have the
series.
Same kind of hairstyle.
They are similar
very athletic.
I will agree with you that.
And stuff like that. So that's why
I will agree.
I was thinking that. But the movie, like the Goblet of Fire thing, treats stuff like all the other films. There's a bit of wonderment of what's going on, you know, this and that. And then finally at the very end...
But there's danger laced throughout,
well, no,
yeah.
But that's the thing. All the Harry Potter films have a sort of sense of, ooh, magical danger waits around the corner. Is Snape a bad guy? We don't know. There's that weird dark arts teacher who's always possibly might be a bad guy, or he's not really a bad guy, but he's not exactly a nice person.
He saved Harry's life, but he hates Harry.
Right. Well, I'm talking about just in general, all the dark arts teachers. Like, they usually end up being the bad guys.
Who? Okay.
No, usually.
Yeah, yeah. Well, according, just a little note here, according to Internet Movie Database, Harry, Ron, and Hermione are signed for the last two movies.
Yeah.
Draco Malfoy is signed for the sixth movie.
Oh, he needs to be signed for the seventh.
Oh, he has to be. He's an extremely important part of the seventh one, which we will get to in just a minute when we review the book. But they have four actors signed for the sixth movie and three actors signed for the seventh movie. It's about time they signed those three main characters, because I know they had problems with Hermione almost didn't sign on for the last one, and they need to keep their main actors or the series will lack.
Oh.
But I've already slated Order of the Phoenix as Christmas 2008, a year and a half from now. And then all they've given for Deathly Hallows is 2010, but I'm going to guess it'll be summer
for
the finale. The first two movies were only a year apart. Since then, they've done the year and a half.
Well, that's fine.
And right now, as they're filming right now, the kids are about half a year to a year too older than their characters as they film the sixth movie. And then they'll probably be about 2 years too old when they film the seventh movie. But 2 years is nothing, because in Hollywood, they have 30-year-olds play 18-year-olds. So anybody that comes out, and I hate this because people are always complaining, those kids are going to be too old. They started them slightly young, and they're going to end slightly old, but they're putting these movies out almost one a year, every year and a half.
That's true.
Busting their butt to keep the kids the right age. So don't criticize them for that, because, yes, they look older, but the movies take place a year apart. I mean, each movie is another year, so they're supposed to age.
You're right. You're totally right.
He's not a kid anymore as the movies get older. So anybody, I just get sick of people complaining that the actors are aging too quickly, because they're not. They're pretty much right on target.
Man, the final frontier.
If you're going to complain about the movie, complain for legitimate reasons.
What, Final Frontier?
But then I was
Harry
talking about...
I'm sorry.
Never
I'm
mind.
Sorry.
Yeah, Harry Potter. Anyway, but no, the movie was excellent. Go see it. Into the book. Going into the final book, we have predictions.
Yes.
For what was going to happen. I predicted Snape was definitely going to be evil because he murdered Dumbledore at the end of book 6.
Right, yep.
I predicted that Harry might die. I don't know. Like, the odds makers in Vegas, overwhelmingly people were voting for Harry to die, betting that Harry was going to die. I tended to believe, because of the Ginny love story towards the end of the 6th one, that Harry had a reason to live and he might make it through. I did predict that one of the Weasleys would have to die, one of Ron's family. I thought that either Ron or Hermione would have to die, and I thought Hagrid was a likely candidate to die. I also thought that she wouldn't possibly kill more than 2 or 3 characters, because in the 4th, 5th, and 6th books, she kills 1 character each. And I predicted, she had talked about that she was, 1 character who was supposed to die was going to live, and 2 characters who weren't supposed to die were going to die. So I'm like, well, there's going to be at least 2 deaths. There'll probably be 3 or 4, but that would be maximum. I don't think she'll be too heartless. And I figured Voldemort would die. And I also figured, I thought Hogwarts might open, but I knew Harry, Ron, and Hermione were not going back to school. They dropped out at the end of the 6th one. So those were my predictions for the last book.
Okay, my predictions were, see, I didn't read the books, I only sort of remember what Jimmy tells me. One of the big things that he told me was that at one point in book 6, he told me about the Horcruxes, which is, you know, that's how you keep your soul alive. You split your soul into so many, like 6 pieces or so, and put them into these random objects. They're not really random, but important objects to you. And then that keeps you...
Well, the Horcrux thing is, it had only been done by very, very dark wizards, and the ones who have done it had only split their soul once. Voldemort decided that 7 was the magic number, and he should split his soul 6 times. So, including the part he kept, he'd have 7, his soul would be in 7 pieces, because that's like the perfect magic number. But nobody even can talk that he did this except for Dumbledore, because nobody would ever try to split their soul 7 times or 6 times.
Right.
He did end up splitting it 7 times. There were 7 Horcruxes. It ended up into 8 pieces because the last one was an accident. But yeah.
Yeah. And so, I mean, so there was that. And then the other big thing, though, and this is why everyone had no idea what was going on, and that was, Harry listened into a conversation that Snape and Dumbledore had, where he's like, I don't want to do it. And Dumbledore's like, you got to, whatever. And then, of course, at the end, Snape kills Dumbledore. So, and also, my big thing was, I honestly thought Harry was the Horcrux, was one of the Horcruxes. Harry is going to have to...
I thought that, Harry too. I thought he was the final Horcrux.
Harry is probably going to die. But if that does not occur, Snape is going to end up being a good guy and come in and go sort of Darth Vader on his ass, either sacrificing himself to save Harry or giving Harry the extra little push to save the day. And I also thought that Ron and Hermione was going to die. I also thought Hagrid was going to die. I agree with you. Hagrid was going to die, possibly. And really, from besides that, maybe one of the other teachers. The good teachers, the teachers that are supporting the kids. Besides that, I really had no clue who that was.
Which character did you think was least likely to die in the book? Because that's the
interesting question. Okay, now let's really talk about the book, man. And this is, we'll start off with this.
Both of us agreed, and I have to, most like websites and books and things that came out with predictions of death, the character most often predicted is least likely to die because he was there simply as a cutesy, happy-go-lucky character, very helpful, super, like, reminds you of an adorable little child, Dobby the House Elf.
Yes.
If you may remember from the 2nd movie, his parts keep getting cut out of the later movies. But Dobby the House Elf was the least expected to die. He died in the middle of the book.
I know, and that actually surprised me when you said that, because I kept saying jokingly, because, oh, okay, now here's the thing, too, is I read spoilers, because it wasn't one of those things, it wasn't some of the things that happened on purpose, really, per se, at first. I was visiting YouretheManNowDog.com, and someone actually had said Harry Potter 7 spoilers, and I had the last page, which said 19 years later. I read that first page, and in my mind, I just went, go, okay, you know what? I do fucking care about how Harry Potter ends. I want to fucking know now. So I started doing I got really – because that was the thing. I wasn't like everybody else that would wait in line for a Harry Potter book, you know. I really almost woke myself up, went to a line, and got Harry Potter 7. I was that wanting to know. And I read some spoilers. At one point, the spoilers said that Hermione ended up doing what Lily Potter did, Harry's mom did, to save Ron. And then Ron, you know, did the same thing to save Hermione. They both died. Hagrid died. Not the truth, though. Hagrid did not die. Ron and Hermione.
Neither Ron nor Hermione died.
Right. And I think that's one of the characters that got a reprieve, was either Ron or Harry.
This book,
Ron or Hermione.
I do think I would be extremely sad had Ron or Hermione died. It would have been devastating. I thought I would be disappointed if one of them did die, because I thought she'd be taking the easy way out, but I wasn't disappointed, because this book scared the crap out of me, because they opened the book almost immediately. Of course, they did the Dursleys thing, and the Dursleys were going into hiding, so they weren't killed by Voldemort. And Dudley actually was nice to Harry for the first time in his life, which I thought was fantastic and a great way to end that subplot. The parents, Aunt Vernon and Uncle Vernon and Aunt Petunia, weren't nice to Harry, and they were shocked that their son was. But Dudley actually saw Harry as a good person for the first time, and I liked that. But then, in Harry's escape from the house, they killed two characters right off the bat. Two fairly important characters. Harry's pet owl, Hedwig, who had been in the series since near the beginning of book one, and Mad-Eye Moody, who was one of the most powerful anti-dark wizards. He's an Auror, which were wizards that hunt down the dark wizards, and he had personally jailed most of Voldemort's followers after his first fall. And he was a professor. He was brilliant and fantastic and this great fighter, mm-hmm. and died right off the bat.
Mm.
So you are shocked. Plus, the only person that could have given Harry away to allow them to be attacked and lead to these two deaths was Professor Snape. So right away, I'm like, Snape's evil. He turned them in. Harry almost died because of Snape. And then one of the Weasley twins gets a hole blown in the side of his head when his ear gets knocked off, and they can't fix that, so he's, like, permanently maimed. So it was a scary opening. And then every few chapters, somebody else died in this book. There was, last count, I identified 13 or 14 significant deaths in the book. There may have been more, I may be forgetting, but there were a lot of significant deaths in this book.
You're right. I remember, for those who actually have actually stuck with us this far, because you don't mind spoilers, you want to really read the book. If they've not taken it down yet, go to Wikipedia.com, and it will tell you a very detailed plot synopsis.
Yes, it will. It's pretty long.
Was. And the only thing I got confused on, and even Jimmy, you were a little unsure. I mean, we both sort of got possibly how it could have occurred, but the biggest thing is that Harry doesn't really kill Voldemort, per se. Voldemort...
He does kill him.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, the synopsis says Harry confronts Voldemort. Voldemort doesn't. He apparently the wand he has. Harry does kill him with knowledge, because he knows the wand that Voldemort's using is not his. It's Draco's. And I don't really understand, though, why at first, like how he 100% knew that the wand was his. And Jimmy even said sort of reason. Well, this is how Harry might know. But they, I don't know, that part of the synopsis was a little off. But pretty much. Yeah, well, you know what? Let's not ruin exactly how he kills himself. But
well, see, Harry does die in the book, and then he lives. The boy who lives was killed in the book, because we were right. He was the last Horcrux, and all of the Horcruxes had to be destroyed before Voldemort could die. And Harry found this out, that he was Horcrux, and that the Horcrux had to be destroyed. Leaves it to Ron, Hermione, and Neville to finish off Voldemort, and willingly walks right into Voldemort's lair, basically. Doesn't even raise his wand to defend himself and lets Voldemort kill him. Because the only way he can kill Voldemort is to die himself. Harry accepts that. And he's told this by Snape as Snape dies. And we find out that even though Snape betrayed them, he didn't really betray them. He was still keeping up his cover, and his mission from Dumbledore was to protect the children. Protect the school. And the reason he murdered Dumbledore was because Dumbledore was already terminally ill, and he had to keep his cover and to save Draco Malfoy from murder. So Snape didn't do an evil act, and Snape was the hero of the series, and Harry ended up naming one of his kids after Snape.
I know.
And respecting him as one of the bravest men he'd ever met.
I really was hoping that way, because I didn't really understand the casting. Because you also got to consider the casting in the movie, too, is that that's sort of... And Alan, you have Alan Rickman, who's a bloody brilliant man, a brilliant actor.
He's
a good creepy character. But if you're going to have a character that juggles back and forth between creepy and possibly a good guy, it would be no one other than Alan Rickman. And also, after Jimmy told me something about Order of the Phoenix, where there was a moment in the movie where Harry gets into his thoughts and sees that, you know, well, okay, I remembered this incorrectly, and you sort of told me this, and you can correct me again here on the air, and that is, Harry's dad picked on Snape, right? Okay,
yeah.
But Lillian was the one who sort of stood up for him. Or did he just mention that he...
Lily, Harry's
right.
mom, and Snape were best friends from childhood.
Okay.
And continued to be best friends all through school. And Harry's dad was a bit of an asshole at times, him and his buddy Sirius Black. And honestly, Harry could be a bit of an asshole too at times. He kind of takes after his dad in that regard. Even though he's primarily a good person, he could act like an asshole every once in a while. And this was kind of... Harry had seen a scene where his dad was being an asshole and kind of lost faith in him. But Harry's mom did fall in love with James Potter and never was in love with Snape. But everything Snape did was because he still, his entire life, was in love with Lily, Harry's mom. It's the reason Snape became a double agent and betrayed Voldemort and helped them and saved their lives and saved Harry's life was because he had always been in love with Harry's mom.
He didn't really hate Harry, correct?
And that love saved him. Love is a theme throughout the series, that love is what the villain never had, and that's why he will be defeated. And that is how he's defeated, because without that love that Snape had for Lily, he would have never turned against Voldemort, and they wouldn't have been able to defeat him the way they did. So love is the good power of the series.
It's just making me get emotional thinking about it, really, too.
Right. But then, anyway, when Harry goes in to willingly be killed, Voldemort, of course, kills him. And there's an entire chapter where Harry is dead, and he has a discussion with Dumbledore from beyond the grave. They're both dead, and they're discussing what happened. And Dumbledore says, being willing to die was enough. It's killed the part of you that's a Horcrux. But because of your link with Voldemort and that you lived in him and he lived in you, you can go back if you choose to. You don't have to. You can stay dead and go on to your eternal peace and be happy. Or you can go back and try to save more lives, because a part of you is still in him, and he did not kill that part of you. So you can go back. And Harry chooses to go back and still pretends to be dead for another chapter, leading Neville to do something incredibly heroic and prove once and for all that Neville is awesome, which I've always been in support of, because I love Neville. And Neville basically leads the entire rebellion army, both before and after Harry's death. Neville is the heroic hero of the school, since Harry, Ron, and Hermione aren't even at the school the whole book. And then Harry, of course, wakes up and reveals to everybody that Snape's a hero, and tells them about Voldemort, and then kills Voldemort without fear. Well, Voldemort aims the killing hex at Harry. Harry tries a defensive disarming spell, and the disarming spell is enough to block and reflect the killing curse, and Voldemort dies. So, and then Harry does marry Ginny, and Ron marries Hermione, and they have lots of kids that they name after Dumbledore and Harry's parents and Snape, and, you know, Neville becomes a professor, and Hagrid stays at the school and stays a friend. Other significant deaths, they did, if you follow the books and cut all the stuff from the movies, Percy Weasley, one of the Weasley family. He was the older one. He was in the first couple movies. He was in this new movie, too, but they never called him by name. He's been estranged from his family since the beginning of book four, because he sided with the government. He worked for the government. He sided with the government over his family. And he does, when it gets down to the final battle and everybody's ready to go to the death and they're getting ready to march, he runs in and apologizes for being an ass and asks to fight alongside them. And one of the twins, Fred, the one that's not named, is the first one to step forward and shake his hand and forgive him. And, of course, they all forgive him because the Weasley family's large and loving. And then in the heat of battle, Fred is killed, and Percy's the one who weeps over his body. So there's kind of a really touching moment there when Fred Weasley dies. Mm. And then a couple of the other major characters, like Lupin and Tonks, are members of the Order of the Phoenix. They were in the last movie. And Lupin, you may remember from the third movie, as the professor that was a werewolf. One of Harry's dad's best friends. He's killed. And they name Harry the godfather of their child before they die. So it's kind of assumed that Harry raises their child as well. Voldemort's killed, of course. Bellatrix Lestrange, who killed Sirius Black in this recent movie, is killed. None of the Malfoys are killed, and they actually, I wouldn't say they completely redeem themselves, but they end up not being hated and not in jail or anything, you know what I mean? And then one of Malfoy's two buddies that always follow him around is killed. Well, there's a lot of people killed. I can't even think of them all off the top of my head. Tonks' dad, Ted Tonks, was killed. And
yeah, it's nuts.
It's really a rough book to read, but it was really well done and really good. And the last 200 pages was just this immense battle at Hogwarts, the school. It all ended there, and it was really, really good.
Yeah, I really can't wait for the movies to come out for that. And not only just for Alan Rickman's performance, but for that final battle. All together just to be.
Oh, yeah.
I really do hope that they include Dobby. Like, I really do hope they come full circle. I think they, a lot of people, I could be wrong. The thing is, that's the thing though. It wasn't until like maybe a month and a half after Star Wars Episode One came out. I'm using this as an example that everyone started hating on Jar Jar Binks. The same thing, I remember the same thing happening with Harry Potter. When the third film came out, everyone started talking about how they hated Dobby. They thought Dobby was annoying. And that's the,
but I love Dobby.
Looking back, I did too. But what I'm saying is that possibly the reason why they haven't returned Dobby in the movies? Maybe even for a cameo.
Well, I think the reason they haven't returned Dobby in the movie is because Dobby always shows up and does something important that kind of leads to them saving the day. And they've given Dobby's parts in the last two movies to Neville. And because Neville becomes such an essential part of the series, I think they were just trying to bulk up his character for the movie. Because they had to cut some of his more important stuff, so because it was a little bit subplotty and off to the side, so they gave Neville extra stuff. They're giving Neville Dobby's plots. However, Dobby saving the day and sacrificing his life to save Harry Potter and his friends in the last book cannot be given to anybody else because it has to be a house elf. It has to be the power, and he is the only one that can go in there. So I really think they'll have to include him in the last movie. Because they do have to be captured by the Malfoys, because that's when the wand is caught, and it leads to some of the things that lead to the finale.
Well, was he
so
in the
I really
sixth
think
book?
They'll have to include
was he
Dobby.
In the sixth book?
Yes.
Well, what did he do in the sixth book?
Nothing important at all. Nothing at all. Like, the fourth and fifth books, he did something important in each. The sixth book, he appeared a couple times and basically said hi. He wasn't really in the sixth book, he wasn't essential at all. He probably won't be in the sixth movie.
Well, I mean, okay, logically, as a director, if the setup is going to be that Dobby is going to return in the seventh movie, I would totally have it.
It'll be hot.
Where they at least have him sort of do the same.
They keep cutting
in. Well, no, that they at least put him in the sixth movie to sort of remind you that Dobby's still around. You know what I mean? That Dobby still checks
yeah,
up on Harry Potter.
Yeah, that would
Potter.
Be good.
You know,
yeah, Dobby works at Hogwarts. School and most of the books, and they never have shown that because he was still the Malfoy's house elf in the second. And you know what? Because they haven't shown him at the school, I half wonder if they'll just pretend he's still at the Malfoy's because that's where he goes to rescue Harry. So they could pretend that he's just been at the Malfoy's all this time.
Or he
I don't know, and that this will be, and that this will be his repayment for Harry setting him free in the second one.
That's true. I would hope that they not really go that direction because that's almost. Okay, I don't mind cliches, but that's almost too cliche at some point. I mean,
of course they could always. Luna is already a prisoner of the Malfoys when Harry, Ron, and Hermione and the others are brought there, and they start torturing Hermione. So maybe Luna, they'll come up with some way for Luna to save them instead. That's possible because Luna is there in the basement being held prisoner, and. That's a terrible, terrible scene because you think Hermione is going to die. Ron and Harry are in the basement and you hear her being tortured upstairs and it's just terrible. By Bellatrix Lestrange, who does get it in the end. So,
man. So overall,
yeah.
The book and the movie, or the movie and the book, good, yes?
I, of course, like all of the movies, but the books are far superior. You just have to kind of set the books aside when you watch the movies, I think.
All right. So
But yes, positive reviews. Go see the movie and definitely buy the book.
And I think iTunes is going to be having the seventh book on sale here either this Tuesday. They have all the other books available in there. So if you are not more of a reader but more of an audio kind of person, check that out as well. If you have a comment about our show, goodbadgeeky@gmail.com. Do you have anything else you want to say?
Oddball. Rumor. Dog. Meow.
Duck.
Pot. Duck. Those are just five odd words. I was trying to remember Dumbledore when he got up and did his speech in the one book and said, let me start this with a few words, and then he just comes up with words. The only one I can remember was oddball, so I just made up a couple words.
The geek. The proud. The oddball. Anyway, well, thank everybody for coming and listening to our show today. We're glad that we actually got everyone.
You're welcome.
I'm welcome too. I'm very welcome.
I just said
I'm welcome. Wait a minute. Oh, I see now. You're welcome. There you go. So, thanks again for listening, and you guys have a good week.
Yeah. Have a day.
Have a day. God, I've not heard that one forever. Bye.
Bye.
Get out of here with that! Jeez! You're a creep! Go away! We're having a good time until you start up, jeepers! Go have some coffee with cream or something! Because I'll tell you something! This is a happy place!